I don't know how many more installments we have on this series, The Promises of God. But I'm glad God has promised and declared He's going to do some things for His people. And there comes a point with all the difficulties in which we live, we just have to make up our mind whether we're going to believe God's promises or the voice of our troubles. And I like the way the Bible says it. Let God be true. The Bible says it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every doubt a liar. Let God be true and every demon a liar. Amen. Just let God be true. And that's what the promises of God are all about. Amen. So, let's turn. John 3:16. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm going to preach this morning on the promise of everlasting life. The promise of everlasting life. Father, help us this morning. Shut up our hearts to the truth. Speak clearly, Lord. May this message reach far beyond just the moment it's preached. Lord, help us to have that hope of everlasting life. Help someone listening this morning, Lord, to see and to realize they too can have everlasting life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You can always tell someone's middle age and beyond when they start an illustration with back in the 70s. So back in the 70s, there was a song that came out and it was had an optimistic feel to it. See how many remember this. Anybody here want to live forever? Say I do. And many times the congregation would or the audience would respond, I do. Anybody here want to live forever? Say I do. Anyone here want to walk on golden streets? Say I do. Three people. Anyone here who's sick and tired of living like you do? Anyone here want a home with love forever? Say I do. And that's the first line of that I want to draw our attention to. Anyone here want to live forever? Say I do. You know, the reason the optimist... Okay, go ahead. Say amen. Say hallelujah. We'll be I doing. Amen. We'll have more I do's than a wedding. But anyway, it's that part about living forever. I think there's optimism to that because that song assumes correctly that eternal life is possible. It's not only possible, everlasting life is also available. And it's accessible. And I think that song struck a chord, no pun intended, with people's hearts. Because by saying, does anyone want to live forever? It lets folks know that you can live forever. And it's not just for a select few, It's for whosoever will can live forever. And it's on the word of Jesus. He has promised everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. You see, every person who has ever lived has asked the question, what happens when I die? What then? What comes after my death? From the very beginning of time, men have been concerned about what follows, their demise, their death. And from the time that men could think in their creation, there was a quest, there was a looking for a way to cheat death and to find everlasting life. We think of the pyramids, we see them. They're a historical thing, an archaeological thing. But the pyramids were not built to show an architectural achievement. The pyramids were built by kings in a quest to obtain everlasting life. That's why they built those things. It's ironic they were seeking life. But once the slaves had those corridors and tombs built, they killed the slaves to keep their place a secret from the grave robbers. If you're going to live forever, what does that matter? If you're going to take that treasure with you, why worry about grave robbers? numbers. You're going to be gone before they get there. But those pyramids weren't about architecture. They were about a quest to live forever. We have the legend of Ponce de Leon, who discovered Florida and supposedly was trying to discover the fountain of youth. That's what all this thing is about, this obsession with the physical and the natural man today. It's even in the health realm. People are seeking to live forever. That's what it's all about. But increasingly, people have become, today, they've become inundated with evolution and materialism. And because they're steeped in evolution and materialism by droves, people are giving up the very concept of everlasting life. People are beginning to accept today that you die and that's it. You'll hear people talking and they'll say, you die and there's nothing after that. You just go into blackness, you go into oblivion, you die like an animal, you die like a plant, and that's it. It's over with. And so today, instead of seeking the truth and being prepared for life after death, so many people are choosing to believe that nothing comes after this life. And if nothing follows this life, my question is, what does this life matter? If there's nothing after death, what does life right now matter? If you die and that's it, then nothing I do, nothing I am matters at all. Oh, but I'm telling you, they're not right. They're wrong. When they say people live like animals, amen, and die like animals, they're going to do just that. They're going to live like animals. If you die like an animal, you'll live like an animal. But I'm glad to know the truth. Hallelujah. That there is everlasting life. Hallelujah. I'd like to ask folks that don't believe in everlasting life, what if someone had actually undeniably died and then had come back from death to demonstrate that there's life after death? What if someone had done that? What if you could verify that a person historically had not only died, but you could verify that they came back from the other side? Oh, I'd like to tell you that has happened. There was one who died verifiably dead. Oh, but he has risen. He has come back to announce for all time there is everlasting life. He himself said to the Revelator John, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He looked people in the eye and said, because I live, you shall live also. I'm telling you, he's crossed over to the other side and he's come back to say, there's life after death, and I'll take you there with me. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him this morning. We have the promise of everlasting life. We used to sing a hymn when I was young. I remember being in the choir about 10 years old. We just made up a choir in those days. We used to sing, a million years from now, we'll still be shouting victory as before the Lord we bow. No one will ever die. No heart will ever sigh. We'll just begin to live a million years from now. How many believes in everlasting life? Hallelujah. From this text, I want to ask some questions. What is this everlasting life? What is this everlasting life? Amen. We get that word from Jesus himself. In verse 15, he used the same word, but it's translated eternal. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Everlasting life simply means without end. Life without end. We hardly can conceive that. Amen. In a time when folks supposedly live long, into 100 and even over 100 nowadays. Amen. We can hardly conceive a million years from now still existing. Amen. But that's what everlasting life is. It's life without end. Today in our society there is a fascination with zombies. A zombie is a person who was dead, but their bodies have been reanimated. I don't know why anybody would be fascinated with something like that. But that's our society. They're into zombies. They're into the walking dead. But I would like to say, without being facetious, that any person who is not born again, any person who has not been saved, regenerated, is a zombie. They're a zombie. Their bodies are alive. Their minds are alive. Their emotions are alive. But their spirit is dead. That spirit part of them that can communicate with God. That spirit part of them that can experience God. That spirit part of them that can live forever in the presence of God. It's dead. They're spiritual zombies. Amen. Paul didn't use the word zombie, but he talked of one. He talked of the young widow who lived promiscuously. And listen what he says in 1 Timothy 5:6. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. I'm telling you, out in our world, those folks that are living in pleasure, they're drinking, they're doing drugs, they're promiscuous, they're rebellious against God, they're steeped in the pleasures of sin, they are zombies. They are dead while they're alive. They're breathing air, they're thinking thoughts, but that thing of man that makes man man, that spirit, even that could know God, that could know grace, that could know love, that could know mercy and peace. It's dead. It's dead. They are spiritual zombies. It started at the very point when man sinned. God had warned man, Genesis chapter 2. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You say, wait a minute. God wasn't correct because Adam and Eve ate of that fruit. But they kept walking. They kept talking to each other. They kept breathing air. Wait a minute. God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. But they're walking around for centuries after that. Was God not telling the truth? No, He told the truth. Because in the very act of disobedience, thou shalt not eat of that tree. In the very act of their sin, at that very moment when they rebelled against God, something in them died. That breath of the Spirit of the Lord within them died. They became spiritually dead. They might have bodies that took a while to die, and minds that took centuries to die, but their spiritual being died immediately. That was the condition we were all in before we met Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, and oh, we could shout right here, and you hath He quickened, and you hath He made alive, who were dead. You were a zombie. You were dead in trespasses and sin. He goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad you've come alive? There are two prevailing views of death today in pop culture. One is the one we get from evolution, and that is you cease to be when your body dies. Your death is no different than a dandelion's. When you die, your body becomes reincorporated. You become reincorporated into the atoms and the stuff of this earth. And that's it. The other view is some aberration of reincarnation. And that means you do come back after death, but you come back as something else or someone else. I've always had problems with that. If when I come back, I don't know it's me that's come back, then is it really me? And if I don't know it's me that comes back, why do I care? If I come back as a snail or a god, if I don't know it's me that's doing the coming back. Professing themselves wise, they become fools. I don't like either one of those options. Amen. But the Bible teaches a born-again believer, when he comes alive from his past life, he comes alive to after death, continue to spiritually live in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. The poets capture it. That's why I keep using songs. But we also used to sing, through eternity, I'll live on. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Wilson, you believe that, don't you? Through eternity, live on. Glory to God. Isn't that a lot better than believing evolution, dying like a dandelion, coming back like a snail, not knowing it's me? Amen. Amen. Through eternity, I'll live on. I want you to know it's been 2,000 years since he died. But I want you to know something. The Apostle Paul is very much alive right now. I begin to think of some saints just during my time that have passed on here. Did you know that Sister Vickers is very much alive right now? Brother and Sister Combs. Brother and Sister Linderman. Amen. Sister Margie is very much alive right now. Somebody name somebody else. Hurry. Who? Ruby. Mention. Come on. Sister Harris. Don't mention anyone that's here. What? Yes, Brother and Sister Combs. Hallelujah. How many believes that they're fully alive right now in the presence of God? Tell me anything of the philosophies and beliefs of the world that can give that kind of hope. I'll live on. Their bodies may be in the ground, but they are fully alive in the presence of God, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Their soul does not sleep a soul sleep. They do not cease to exist, not for a moment. They have been recipients of everlasting life, and they live on. I want to point out to you that everlasting life is not just a quantity of life. It is a quality of life. It's not everlasting life just because it goes on and on. It's everlasting life because it is true and real living. Maybe you had the opportunity to be at your dream spot. Maybe it's up in the mountains on the balcony of a cabin, drinking coffee, looking out at the mountains, listening to the birds sing. Maybe it's on the bank of a pond fishing. I don't know where it is, but at some point you've been in that ideal spot and you said, this is life. I've done that, floating down a Missouri River in a canoe from fishing hole to fishing hole. Huck Finn in it, I call it. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, this is life. I'm talking about everlasting. It's not just that it goes on and on, but this is life. I've heard people in the midst of a hard place, a trial and sickness, deprivation and pain and suffering and sickness and conflict in the marriage. And they'll say something like this. If this is life, it's not worth living. I want to tell you something. That's biological life. That's mental life, emotional life. But this everlasting spiritual life, it's not just that it goes on and on. It's a life worth living. Amen. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I am come to give you life, and that more abundantly. It's an abundant life. Everlasting life is an abundant life. It's a life worth living. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You see, it isn't that we'll just live on and on, but we'll live on and on in the best of all possible existence. I think it was last Sunday night we sang, won't it be wonderful there, having no burden to bear. It's not that we'll just live on and on in heaven, but in heaven we'll be totally aware we'll be totally satisfied. We'll be totally content. We'll be totally peaceful. We'll be totally joyful. We'll be totally fulfilled. We'll be totally comfortable. And our hearts, our spirit, will be thrilled by the presence of God through all eternity. I heard him sing on the radio this morning. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And we sing that after the moving of God's presence that is so rich and so real. Think about being in that presence for eternity. Think about every moment being able to say, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about not just going on and on and on, but everlasting life is abundant life. Hallelujah. But you see, another reason it's not just the quantity of life, because every soul of man, saved or unsaved, will continue to exist through all eternity. Brother Steve, I believe we sang the other night too, unless I'm mistaken, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. I'm not trying to take wind out of ourselves, but I'm telling you, to some folks, to an awful, tormented land, they're on their way. And the soul never dies there either. What I'm trying to show, everlasting life isn't just the fact that it goes on and on. It's the fact that it's a quality of life in heaven. Oh, I like this. I read it this week. Paul said in Ephesians 2 as well. He said he's done all that. He's quickened us. That in the age, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I don't know if we got that when we read that. How many, it was a tremendously wonderful thing the night or the day you got saved and God showed grace to you. Wasn't that wonderful? How many's had God show you grace since then? And it's been a wonderful thing. Did you see what it says here? That in the ages to come, one age after another, he might keep showing the riches of his grace and his kind. I'm telling you, it's a quality of life, because through eternity, God's going to keep showing the grace of the riches of Christ to it. You've been in good services. I don't want to minimize it, but you haven't experienced anything yet until when, unhampered by this flesh, we stand in the presence of God. And God says, I want to show you some more grace. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about everlasting life. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. If you're headed a different direction, that life goes on as well. But it's not eternal living, it's eternal dying. You're alive, but you die, you die, you die, and eternal death. The other life, it's eternal living in a quality of life that goes on and on. Secondly, this morning, when does everlasting life begin? This is important. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a real, real misconception. When do we begin to live that everlasting life? I want to tell you, before I tell you the misconception, I want to tell you the truth. This scripture says, the moment we believe, the moment we are born again, at that moment, we begin to live everlasting life, never to die. In fact, even the word born again implies the beginning of a new life. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'll get excited about this. Paul said, if you've been buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The moment we get saved, we begin living a whole new life. In fact, if you say, well, I became a believer, my life didn't change, you weren't born again. Because when you're born again, you begin to live a new life, an everlasting life. And so here is a misconception. Folks say, sure, we have everlasting life. That means when we die, we begin to live that everlasting life. Or if the rapture takes place, at that moment, we begin to live everlasting life. That's not true. That life you'll live a million years from now began the moment you were born again. It does not begin the moment you die. Brother Fraley, the moment you became born again, you begin to live that everlasting life. You'll be living a million years from now. Oh, somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Everlasting life. Hallelujah. It goes on and on and on. Amen. Paul said in Timothy, talking about body exercise, he didn't say that didn't profit a whole lot. But he said, we have the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. That life which is to come, we're living it right now. That's why, again, the songwriter captured it when he said, I've just begun to live. I've just begun to live. Since God's amazing grace came in, I've just begun to live. Old things are passed away. I have a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I've just begun to live. And I'm going to live on and on and on and on through eternity. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so when our body dies, the inner us, our spirit that came alive by the Spirit when we were born again, it'll continue to live in the presence of God. But see, I want you to notice, if we go back to John 3:16 for a moment, brother. It's not that those who believe have already begun to live an everlasting life. It's those that choose not to believe. It's not that they will one day perish in hell, but they are already perishing. We got to get a hold of that too. It's not you need to get saved and one day you'll perish. It's if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you are perishing right now. I've got to move forward and wrap this up, but I misunderstood the Scripture for so many years. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? I view that totally in terms of the end. What would it profit if you had all this world's riches and pleasure, and then at the end when you died or at the judgment, you went to hell. You lost your soul by going to hell. I have found that if you haven't turned to God and you're partaking of all those things in the world, you are having your soul destroyed right now. You are losing your soul right now. Bit by bit, piece by piece. Sin will leave you jaded and empty hull without ability to experience life in the presence of God. Amen. You're perishing right now. You don't have to wait until hell at the end. This Scripture tells us there's only two classes of people. Those that have begun to live the everlasting life and those that are perishing. I'd say that with no arrogance. I just say those that are perishing, if they only knew what it was like to begin to live the everlasting life. Next question, why is everlasting life possible? John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why eternal life is possible. God loved us and God gave. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What were we singing about? I've heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory. Oh, hallelujah. Why is everlasting life possible? God loved us. That's why it's possible. And Jesus came to die. Glory to God. You see what I'm saying? Men have tried to obtain and discover everlasting life. But everlasting life isn't something to obtain. It's not something to discover. It's not something to procure. It's not something to earn. Amen. It can't be got that way. We have everlasting love because, or everlasting life, because God had an everlasting love for us and He gave what we could not obtain. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the gift of everlasting life? He gave His only begotten Son. 1 Thessalonians, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. It's very simple. Paul puts it here. He died that we might live. Woo. He died that we might. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, He hath quickened us together. Not by works that we have done, but by His grace, He quickened us. He died that we might live. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Eternal life isn't an automatic. You hear that so much today. No faith, no belief. A person dies, they go to heaven. You've heard that. People believe that on the street. Eternal life isn't an automatic given. Eternal life isn't something that man have discovered. People are making up their own religions today. I found my own way to God. Everlasting life, in fact, is something Jesus paid for with the great price of His life. And may we never forget, we have everlasting life because He faced the cruelest of deaths for our sin. Oh, He died for our sins, but He rose again for our justification. I feel the Spirit of the Lord here making spiritual truths real to our hearts. He died. If He hadn't rose again, that taken care of our past sins, but we wouldn't be able to live. Hallelujah. But He died to take care of our sins. But He rose again to justify us and bring us into right relationship with God so we could begin an eternal, everlasting life of communion with God. Last question. How was everlasting life received? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in Him. I'll never forget this. I was trying to earn one of my Royal Ranger badges 100 years ago. And we had to say our scriptures to Sister Buford. She was ahead of it. I could take you to the place. It had three sections of pews like this. I was back there about where Bill Donahue is. She saw me in the aisle and she said, "Are you ready to say your scriptures?" And I said, "Yes." And so she gave me different references. And I said, she came to John 3:16. I know this one. I know this one. For God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish forever. Oh, you don't do that, Sister Buford. She stopped me in a heartbeat and said, "You got it wrong." I said, "No, I didn't." You don't argue with her either. She said, "Yeah, you did." I said, "What did I say?" I was about 9, 10 years old. She said, "Whosoever believeth on you," she said, "you said whosoever believeth on Him." She said, "It's not on Him. It's in Him." So I started again. "For God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on..." Ugh. I don't know if I ever got that badge. What I might have become if I'd obtained that badge. She kept stopping me. And she said, "It's not on Him." I was sitting in Greek class years later, studying prepositions. I'm telling you, if it's God's Word and you're studying with an honest heart, you can get excited about all kinds of things. How many remember a few weeks ago we got excited about the TH? Cleanseth. And I was studying prepositions, and we got to the preposition ace. Everybody say ace. Not A-C-E. E-I-S. Ace. And the preposition ace denotes motion to or towards the object of the preposition. So when Jesus says, "Whosoever believeth in Him," it literally means believe. From where you're at, you leave that place, and with a motion, you move, you place your belief and trust in Jesus. It's motion to or towards. You see, it makes a big difference. It occurred to me at that moment. I don't know if she knew the Greek, but Sister Buford had it right. There is a huge difference between believing on Jesus
and believing in Jesus. You see, a lot of folks say, I believe on Jesus. I believe that Jesus was a man and He died and He rose again. I believe, therefore I'm saved. How many's ever run into that? I mean, living like the devil, committing adultery and sin. You deal with them, they say, well, the Bible says, whosoever believes on Him is going to have... And I believe on Jesus. I want to tell you something. James says the demons believe too and tremble. But how many believes you're going to spend eternity with demons? I didn't ask that right. How many believes that in heaven you're going to spend eternity with demons? No, you, bro. I was just trying to correct that. See, it's not enough just to mentally assent and says Jesus is real and Jesus died. That doesn't save anybody. Brother Wilson, this believing in means you believe so fully, you believe so fervently that you leave the place you're dwelling in right now. You leave the realm you're in right now and you transfer your heart and you transfer your desires and you transfer your trust and you move over here into Jesus and bring your trust with you and bring your faith with you and say, I'm not living over there anymore. I'm living here. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, to really have everlasting life, it's when you say, I'm through with this. I'm through with sin. I'm through with the world. I'm through with living that life. I'm going to take my trust, my life, my eternity, and I'm placing it in Him. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to believe in Jesus? Hallelujah. Hand in hand with the belief that no one lives forever in heaven. Today is the belief that everybody's going to live forever in heaven. No, only those who truly believe in Jesus are going to live forever. I want to tell you this morning, come music. Every born again believer, I want to tell you something. You are promised by Jesus. You are promised everlasting life. You are going to live on and on and on in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many can remember the time you got saved? I'm going to have to spend some time on an altar call this morning. How many remembers the moment you got saved? Your everlasting life began at that moment. Michael Sandel wrote a book. I haven't read it, but his book's entitled, There Are Some Things Money Can't Buy. But he gave a list of things that money can buy today. You can buy the right to jump to the head of the line at Universal Studios for $149. Listen, this is true. These are true. You can buy a prison cell upgrade. If you're a nonviolent prisoner, you can buy a prisoner cell upgrade for $90 a night. You can have a clean, you'll be insured a clean, quiet jail cell without non-paying prisoners there to disturb you. You can buy the services of an Indian surrogate mother for $8,000. You can buy the right to shoot an endangered black rhino for $250,000. If you've got $250,000 lying around and you want a black rhino on your den wall, you can buy that. In some cities, we're not big enough to have that in Dayton, but some cities, they have carpool lanes. You've seen them. But some cities are offering a permit to drive solo in a carpool lane for $8. Increasingly popular is some doctors are allowing you to buy their cell phone number for $1,500 and up a year so that you can call them at any time. You can buy a lot of things, but you cannot buy everlasting life because it's already been bought. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to me. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Let's stand and praise Him. If you have everlasting life, thanking for it, you're going to live on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
without any further ado, you're here and you don't have the assurance of eternal life. You've not yet been born again. But you'd like to have the assurance that you'll live on in the presence of God. I want you to make your way down the aisle, come to this step we use as an altar, and say, I want to live forever in the presence of God. You don't have that assurance. You'd like to come right now. You've not been born again. Maybe, you know, sometimes we dismiss the fact we don't see anyone that we would really mark as an unbeliever. But we never know the moment, amen, that one of our children is going to become aware of this gospel and what God is saying. And so I always want to give an altar call to those that want to put their trust in Jesus and be born again. Are you here? You need everlasting life. You want to live forever in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone here you'd like to come? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want then all those that have everlasting life, that you want to experience a little bit of that afresh in the altars. Would you come and fill these altars and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have given me everlasting life. Hallelujah. Would you fill the altars and praise Him? Thank you for the promise of everlasting life. Thank you for the promise of everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've just begun to live since God's amazing grace came in. I've just begun to live. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him for it this morning. Are you putting your trust in Him? Have you moved your allegiance to Christ? Have you moved your life into the God category? Hallelujah. Have you put your thoughts and your dreams and your aspirations, have you moved and put them into Christ, the God category? Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Let's thank Him for everlasting life. Let's thank Him for everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. I'll live on. I'll live on. I'll live on. Let's praise Him for the hope that we have.
And no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face.
Anybody here want to live forever? Hallelujah. Anybody here going to live forever?
We'll hold on to you always.